You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Wetherby, Hereford and Kempton. There's also a card on the Tapita at Wolverhampton in the afternoon as well, and you can hear every race live with us here on Racing Radio in the company of Stephen Powell, Will Smith and Sean Quinn from 12:10pm on Wednesday afternoon. But ahead of all the action, joining myself, Sam Norris, to look ahead to four races on Wednesday, as well as a spin through the latest racing news, is the aforementioned Will Smith. How are you, Will?
The aforementioned. I'm good, indeed. Thank you. Very good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, very good. Enjoyable weekend of racing as well, Will?
Yes. Yes, it has been. Obviously, the highlight was probably Q Card winning what is known as the Lancashire Chase. Haydock, obviously, very prestigious event. I think that's the third time he's won that now. Yeah. Obviously, he was taking on a very good class of rival, the Cheltenham Gold Cup winner, no less, in Connie Gree. Obviously, he had had a hell of a lot of time off the track, Connie Gree. Probably shaped as if, well, he either shaped as if that is about as good as he is now and Q Card is a better horse, or he shaped as if, you know, he might well come on for the run. And if he does come on for the run, then obviously the rematch, presumably, that might happen at Christmas time in the King George will be a sight to behold, because there's obviously one or two other horses in there that might have a claim to winning that as well. So fingers crossed that Conan Gray is all sound after that, and he can come out and try and make it 1-1 in the rematch.
Yeah, indeed. It was. It's interesting with Koenigsegg as well, because quite a few people do say, you know, he generally goes fairly well fresh, and obviously won on seasonal reappearance last season, the only time we saw him. That, of course, was in a much weaker grade than the one he was facing. And there were plenty of people, despite the fact that he lost the Q Card, who'd had the benefit of a run, still very pleased with that performance from Koenigsegg. He, of course, had a two-time Betfair Chase winner in Sylvain Arco-Conti in behind as well, who's perhaps not quite the force of old, but there was plenty to like about the Koenigsegg performance, as was there obviously about Q Card. There seems to be no real problems with him. Another year older, everyone said, well, last year it was his chance in the Gold Cup, but now you know, with Don Cossack on the sidelines, with obviously Colin Tizard also training Thistlecrack as well, he might want to keep him back and let Q Card go for the £1 million bonus. I don't want to think too far ahead, but it doesn't feel like his chance has gone.
No, absolutely not. Well, I don't. I mean, the next few months are going to be fascinating, how all kind of aspects and threads to that tie in. Certainly with Conan Gree, you think back to obviously when he won the Gold Cup two seasons ago. You look at his runs, and obviously he does go well fresh, yes. But that season he had four runs. So he won the Grade Two at the Hennessy meeting in Newbury, obviously, that we'll see in a couple of weeks' time. He won that in November, then he went to the King George, and then he went to I think the Denman Chase, was it, at Newbury in February, and then he went to the Gold Cup. So he had four runs in the space of 4.5-5 months, and you look at Racing Post ratings of each of those runs, and he improved £10 for each of those runs to the Gold Cup win, which was obviously the pinnacle. So yes, he might well go well fresh, but his best season he improved for every run. So if he does that again, and obviously, he's a horse. He's the apple of their eye, so he'll be given every attention at home. He'll have been fit and ready. But I imagine there's only so much you can do with a horse to get him fit and ready, other than give him a race.
Yes,
and he obviously had a race on ground that was, you know, very heavy. So he had every right to get tired, which he probably did. And Q Card had a run, and is a very, very good horse. So I would be inclined to imagine that Koenigsegg will come on for the run. Obviously, I'm not a paddock watcher and I wasn't there, so I don't know what shape he was in. But I think he will come on for the run. I think he will get better for it, which will be a sight to behold if him and Q Card go at it round Kempton. And then, you know, if Q Card comes out of that and they reappear in the Gold Cup as well with one or two rivals in there, it's set to be a fascinating season, staying chase-wise, definitely. Obviously, and then you mentioned Thistlecrack as
well. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Native River, who I'm about to come on to, the 11-2 favourite for the Hennessy this weekend. That gives Colin Tizard almost a Willie Mullins-esque kind of headache with Q Card, Thistlecrack and Native River. Obviously, if Native River doesn't go on to win the Hennessy, then it'll be slightly easier. But if he does and lives up to his potential, he's got a very nice problem on his hands, Colin Tizard.
Yeah, he does. I wonder whether Native River, obviously, he's got a live chance in the Hennessy off a mark of 155. Mm. Now, to shape up into a genuine Gold Cup contender, he's going to have to improve on that probably 20, 25 pounds, which if he wins a Hennessy is not impossible to do that. But it's interesting that they gave him a prep run over hurdles. Maybe it was in light of trying to protect his chase mark for the Hennessy. You do wonder whether they feel that he is the third best of those three.
Yes.
Which, obviously, on what they've done on the racecourse so far is probably predictable. Mm. But you'd think that Native River, being a six-year-old, obviously Q-Card, what is he now, 10? Thistlecrack is an eight-year-old, I believe, or maybe going on nine this year. So Native River's time, I think, will come. Definitely. I think that's the way they're thinking. I think they obviously think Q-Card, this might be his last chance to win a Gold Cup. Thistlecrack, they're feeling he's in his prime. Native River, I'd be amazed if he... I mean, he might well go and hack up in the Hennessy and they think, well, we've got to have a crack at the Gold Cup if he does that. But I imagine that they might revert back to hurdles, maybe try and win the World Hurdle or something, or maybe go for something else, maybe the Scottish National or something like that. Given that he won the National Hunt Chase so... at the festival he ran so well in that, he clearly stays. I wonder whether his time will come, perhaps not this year.
Certainly. Just one other thing I'd like to touch on then. This is not from the weekend, this is from Monday. We saw the eagerly anticipated chase debut of Altior. Only had one rival to beat yesterday at Kempton, but has subsequently been, well, he's clipped in on the back of that race for the Arkle from 5-2 to 2-1. That 2-1 is all gone. That's been trimmed into 7-4. Obviously, you can't get too carried away when you only beat one rival, but in terms of winning a match, he did it as nice as he possibly could do, really.
Yeah, I mean, Noel Feely just made it uncomplicated, didn't he? He made sure there was no mucking about, and he was on the best horse, and he gave him a clear sight of his fences, and he did pretty much what he should have done, really. Whether it warranted being clipped in, I don't know. I know he jumped around fine and you know he takes defences.
Yeah.
But I certainly wouldn't be more keen to have a bet at a shorter price now from seeing that than I would have been beforehand. I think if I was going to back him, I'd have backed him beforehand. But
taken on chance that he takes defences.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I'd be inclined to wade in now at 7-4. Look, he probably, if he gets there on the day, I mean, it'll be a small field probably as ever with the Arkle. Mm. I certainly think if York Hill goes there, he could be a very, very good bet. If I knew that he was definitely going there, 5-1 would be a cracking bet, I think, about York Hill. The time's interesting. The festival day one last year, or first 2 days, sorry, over the old course, the time that York Hill ran from, I think it was the third last flight at the top of the hill, compared very favourably with the times that Annie Power ran and Altior ran on the day before. Now, it might have been slightly quicker ground on the next day, but given he'd run over a trip half a mile further in the Neptune, I certainly think he has the pace to either win a champion hurdle or an arc or whichever way they go. And if I knew where York Hill was going, then I would be backing him now for that particular target. But obviously, given Willie Mullins...
You wouldn't want to second-guess him the week before the festival. No. Never mind a good few months before, would you?
And that's rightly so. I mean, because he has so many horses to try and get their targets right, that you just can't, and you don't know who's going to be there fit on the day. And sometimes if you campaign a horse in a particular direction and then something goes wrong, then you don't have a backup and you don't have something else to come into it. Whereas if you keep your options open, which you can completely understand given the amount of high quality horses he's got, then you're in a far better ballpark, really. I get why people would like to know, but I'd far rather trust Willie Mullins' knowledge and what he's done in the game so far.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. But certainly was a pleasing enough chasing debut for Altior. Then the 7-4 favourite for the Arkle, 5-1 York Hill, 6-1 Min, and 7-1 or bigger. The rest. Anything else on your mind before we move on to look at Wednesday's racing? Will, anything that's been a major standout of late?
Looking at the weekend, the markets for the weekend upcoming, be inclined to know whether William Hill have a market up for the long distance hurdle. I think they do. I think I saw it earlier on today, but I thought that might be quite an interesting race. I think it's on the Friday this year.
Yeah, 5-2 Ballyuptic, Rev the Civil, 9-2, who's already had a spin in France. Likewise, Petit Zig, 5-1, you know what I mean, Harry, 6s, Menorah, 7-1, the Romford Pelé, 8-1, and 12's Bar.
Yeah, so there's a horse at a bigger price there, Ubac, who is 14-1 for Gary Moore, who I think they always believed he was a real good, strong staying chaser on soft ground. Things didn't quite go according to plan for him a couple of times. He's had the odd injury or so. But certainly last year he was much better. He won a handicap at Aintree in April at the Grand National meeting on softish ground. He won off 1.46 there, a 3-mile handicap hurdle. He then went to Sandown on the last day of the season and was fourth behind Putty Zig. He's got a turnaround in the weights for that. That was over 2.5 on goodish ground. I think 3 miles soft ground suits him quite well. And he's had a spin so far this year back at Aintree over 2.5 on good ground. That would have been too sharp for him. It looks like they've tried to target him at this. He gets in with only a £4 penalty compared with some of the horses at the top, Rev de Civil, Petit Zig. They've got £8 penalties for this. Ballyoptic, I think, is a worthy favourite for that, but I wouldn't put anyone off having a couple of quid each way on Ubac. On the Racing Post website, he's jocked up as having Joshua Moore on him, so it looks as if he's going to go to that race. And in a race that might cut up, you know, with the entries, if you get on now 14-1 each way, three places, if there is less than eight, obviously, then you're onto a good thing, because I'm sure if he goes there, he'll be shorter on the day.
Yeah, indeed. Ubac then, 14-1, Will's fancy for the weekend in the long distance hurdle coming up at Newbury. We'll move on to matters closer at hand now, though, and that is Wednesday's racing. We've got two races over the National Hunt Obstacles and two on the Polytrack in what is a pretty decent twilight card at Kempton. But we begin with the jumps races. We start at Wetherby with their 2.25. This is a handicap chase over just shy of 2 miles. We've got the dead eight runners lining up at the time of recording, so there could well be a decent each way shape to this race. What are you liking it?
Yeah, tricky race. It's hopefully the dead eight stay.
Makes it a bit easier.
Yeah, definitely. Mickey Hammond's got three in there, which is interesting. Two of them have had runs. Roxy Fett down at the bottom with Witness as well. They've both had runs so far this campaign. The one up the top that I backed him last year for the Beecher Chase, Rathlin, at the top of the weights. So I think this will be a spin to get him fit for that assignment again. I think he could prove himself to be a chaser that has a race in him off that kind of mark. He was once with Mouse Morris and Giggingstown at one stage, but not for today. The horse I liked for today was Dr. Phoenix for David Dennis. He went quite well fresh 2 seasons ago. Snippets of his form last year were strong, very strong. He's won a couple of races on softish ground around 2 miles at Lingfield and Haydock. He then went to the valuable 2.5 mile handicap chase at Cheltenham's December meeting. He ran in a way that suggested that he didn't quite maybe stay in a race where Village Vic really got loose on the lead and out-galloped them. He's dropped a couple of pounds since that, actually, for the time off and probably being beaten. I think off a mark of 1.37, 2 miles, soft ground again. I think that David Dennis has probably got him ready. He's had entries certainly in the last couple of weeks and appeared, but not then been not turned out. So it seems as if he's been ready to run for a while. And obviously with the booking of Brian Hughes as well, who won on him last time, I think that everything is right for a big run, really, in a race where a few of these might lack for a bit of fitness and or are handicapped to the hilt. I think there's a bit more scope for him off his current mark.
Okay, Dr. Phoenix, then the choice for Will for David Dennis and Brian Hughes, who has barely put a toe out of line so far this season. He's had a fantastic start to proceedings. Dr. Phoenix, the choice in the 2.25 at Wetherby. We go to Hereford now for their 2.45. We're over Timber this time. This is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Just 6 runners a lineup for this one. What did you make of the field, Will?
Yeah, trappy event. Obviously, mayor's handicaps are invariably trappy affairs. There's a few of these that had sort of won a couple of races or run well at the back end of last year, so they've climbed the handicap marks and they're now reappearing off marks which in time might well prove beyond them, and also they're not going to be fully wound up for this first start of the season. One of those that you could maybe apply that to is Legend Lady, actually, for Oliver Sherwood, who she won a novice hurdle at Kempton back in early this year, back in January, from a horse called Authorised 2 of Noel Williams. Now, we haven't seen her since, which you could say is perhaps a slight worry, But equally, if you watched a mare of Oliver Sherwood's win at Kempton on Monday, Surtee de Burleigh, she certainly didn't lack for fitness, and that was her first run for a while. And a few of Oliver Sherwood's horses have come out and run well first time out as well. And I think that she could potentially be the least exposed and best handicapped horse in the race. Off a mark of 1.14, I think she has every right to go well if she's fully tuned up and ready. Obviously, off the back of 303 days off the track, it's a slight worry. But given that Oliver Sherwood's mare ran so well and won at Kempton on Monday, I'd hope that maybe their training companions at home, he keeps all the mares together and they all do the same amount of work. And if she's done the same amount of work as what Surtee de Burleigh did, then she should go well off 1.14.
Legend Lady then the choice in the 2.45 at Hereford. We'll go over to Kempton now for their evening meeting. A couple of races on the Polytrack surface. We start with the feature race of the night at Kempton Park. This is the 6.55. The listed Wildflower Stakes over a mile and a half. 13 runners stand their ground in this one. I know you're predominantly a jumps man, Will, but you've been rather forced to pay attention to the flat.
Yeah, no, that's fine. In this kind of race, actually, is one that I generally like to have a look at. I like staying races on the all weather because generally the form holds up, and you can sometimes filter out horses that don't take to the surface and or don't stay. There are two that interested me here: Star Storm for James Fanshawe. He was a great trainer at getting them right on a particular day. He was perhaps a little bit unlucky not to beat Western Him last time, and unlucky to bump into Western Him, who won in the first time visor, seemed to be galvanised by that. But he sandwiched horses there that were rated well in excess of him. He was rated 98 on that particular day, whereas all the other horses around him were rated well in excess of 100. And it looked like there was no fluke to it. It looked like he'd run an absolute cracker. He's obviously been bumped up to 107. Now, obviously, this isn't a handicap. It's still a listed race. But that puts him just about near the pick of these. And it looks like that James Fanshawe has perhaps found the key to him, and he could still be improving. I think the form of that race, there's no Western Him in here. There's Curb Your Enthusiasm, who is probably a similar class of horse, but I think wants a bit further. I think a mile and a half round Kempton might be too much of a speed test for him. So Star Storm would be my bet in that. There is one just at the bottom, the really unexposed once racehorse Crimean Tartar for Hugo Palmer, who was incredibly impressive on debut at Newmarket back in July. What he beat, we don't really know, but I think he's thought a hell of a lot of. And whether this is an assignment that he's absolutely cherry ripe for, I think he's a horse that could take higher order in the staying and the cup races next year. If he runs well here, obviously, then you'd have to take that into consideration. But he's a once-raced three-year-old who, in time, could be anything.
Star Storm then the choice for Will, but do keep an eye on Crimean Tartar down the bottom then for Hugo Palmer and Jack Mitchell. We move on to the final race on today's podcast then, and it's the next race on the card at Kempton. This is the 7.25, a 6 furlong sprint handicap here, 12 runners to sort out, and a decent prize on offer as well, just over 11 grand to the winner. Plenty of C&D form represented here, as you'd expect, Will.
Yeah, there is, and around Kempton's obviously 6 furlong trip as well. That's important. It's quite a sort of idiosyncratic track and trip in that respect. You have to like the claims of Amazor having run well in a stakes race behind Lord of the Land last time, who has really got his act together on the poly track. You also have to like the claims of Boomerang Bob, won for Jamie Osborne last time out in a handicap at Chelmsford. He's only gone up £3 for that. I wonder whether Kempton is quite his track. I'm going to take a bit of a flyer here. Hopefully we get a big enough price about a horse that I've been sort of, he's been on my radar for a while now, a horse called Burnt Sugar for Richard Hannon, who has dropped the handicap markedly. He's dropped in excess of £15 in the last year or so. And just in a couple of his last few runs has showed glimpses that there's still the fire there burning. And this is his first try back on an all-weather surface for a long, long time. And he actually, his career best was probably when he won a Group 3 just over 2 years ago around here, around Kempton over 6 furlongs. So the fact that he goes back here to where the scene of his best day on a very, very nice mark of 93 with Holly Doyle taking £5 off him, hopefully we get a decent price and he runs well at a big price. The one slight drawback is he's drawn in stall 11, which could be tricky, But if he's that well handicapped, he might well get away with it.
Okay, Burnt Sugar, the choice then, 16-1 on the forecast that I'm looking at for that. 7:25 at Kempton Park on Wednesday. Just give us a quick recap then, please, Will, before we let you go, of your four selections for the races that we've looked at on Wednesday afternoon.
Yep, so the first one is the 2:25, the 2 mile handicap chase at Wetherby, what will be a soft ground test. I think David Dennis's Dr. Phoenix could prove himself to be quite nicely handicapped off a mark of 1:37 in a race that should shape up quite nicely for him. Over to Hereford, I think Oliver Sherwood's mare Legend Lady can prove the form of Oliver Sherwood's mares to be pretty good. I think a mark of 1:14 is quite nice for her in the mare's handicap hurdle over 2 miles. And then over to the all-weather action in the evening at Kempton, the 6:55, the listed race. I think Star Storm can confirm the promise of his last time out, second in probably what was a better race. Keep an eye on Crimean Tartar down the bottom. I think he could be a good horse in time. And then the 7:25, the unfathomable 6 furlong handicap. I think Burnt Sugar from stall 11 is tricky, but I think he could be a nice price and is really well handicapped.
Excellent stuff. There we are then, thoughts of Will Smith ahead of Wednesday's racing. And you can join Will on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM alongside Stephen Powell and Sean Quinn for all of the action over the obstacles at Wetherby and Hereford. We've got a Wolverhampton Tapperton meeting in the afternoon, then Kempton Park on the Poly Track in the evening. Racing Radio from 12:10 on Wednesday afternoon. Thank you very much for that, Will. Best of luck and enjoy the action.
Cheers, Sam. All the best.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.